If there are some questions, inshallah. In the case of khul', because the husband, denies another woman, okay. تعال اقرا يا شيخ.
السلام عليكم.
السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. Let me begin with this. This is the first of all the sisters. Says here, not all women have husbands. Example, widows, divorced women, unmarried women. Did I see husbands? Did I say husband? The application is not only made about husband. I say husband, father, mother, father, uncle, brother, son. All these are servants. If I say husband, I'd never be just a woman. To make her one service? No, more than one. Husband is the latest one. Very new. When she was baby, there was no husband to serve her. But she still had servants. She had father, uncle, brother. All these were servants for her. And when she grew up, she had a husband. And then she had a son. So she had five qualities. Not five only, but five qualities of servants. What bitterness? If she is a widow, and she has a father, she has other men, relative men in the family, and why she wants to remain with her. She gets married. As well as if she's divorced or unmarried. And then she says, many, or maybe their father, or sons, or mahram men do not fulfill their responsibility to them. Also, not all women are mothers. So what about them? What about them? What is the percentage of that of the women that their father, their brother, their sons, their uncles do not serve them, do not take care about them? What is the percentage? And it gets worse. And at the same time, she doesn't have a husband. If this is the case, then I said, better you change a husband and get one quickly. So at least you have one, and from him you get a son, and the son becomes your permanent servant. In Islam, the son, even if he gets married and gets old, he is still a servant of his mother. Until she dies, or he dies. He will have to be the servant of his mother. A man came from Yemen carrying his old mother who doesn't walk. He came from Yemen carrying her on his back. Until he was in the Tawaf, he came for Hajj. He saw Ibn Umar, Abdullah Ibn Umar. He said, Ibn Umar, oh Ibn Umar, I came from Yemen like what is she now? Telling my mother from Yemen. Whenever she passes urine, she passes over me. Whenever she passes stool, she passes over me. I never ever was upset of that. Do you think that I have now rewarded back? He said no. Not even one time kick in the wall. So, who can have a servant like that? It's more than slavery. But we do that willingly, and we are happy to do that. Allah Ta'ala taught us not to say oh, even when we are going to obtain what they or fulfill what they told us to do. Yet we don't show them that we are not so quite happy to do it. So, I don't imagine that there's a big number of women who their fathers, uncles, children, need to make a law for it and make a special way for it. But when this happens, in Islam, there is a solution for every issue, for every matter. And Islam, when it is the only thing, then you are allowed to. When it is the only drink you have, which is khamr, you either drink it or die, you can drink it. So, if this is the case, then we can solve it, but we cannot make a law for it. That all women can have, and they can go out and work, and can drive, just because there is one in the town, her family do not like her, so they don't help her, and she doesn't have a husband. Because of that one woman, all women have to go and work, and drive. That's not correct. Second question from there, she says, what is your opinion of women driving? I just said it. Why? All the book is about it. I don't say that women driving the car is something haram. No, I don't say that. Women driving the car is exactly like women using the mixing machine in the kitchen. Nothing about it. But woman driving car leads to, she will have first of all to uncover her face. If she says no in the UK, they don't unfold you, sooner or later you're going to see. And the next door country, it is already obligatory there. In France now it is obligatory. Woman cannot go out rather than she drives with a face cover. And even if she says, no, I can't drive the car, okay, no problem. And then, if the police stop you, are they going to bring you a woman, police woman? Who's going to investigate you? How are you going to trust them? Never has happened that the policeman accused you. And if this comes safe and good, alhamdulillah, no problem. When you have trouble with your car, let's say you are a flat tire, are you sure that all your makeup you don't care about, you're going to bring the car, the spare tire from the trunk, and bring the guy and raise the car and do all this mechanic job, hard job? We men sometimes try to do it. And sometimes we are not so, we are not capable even to unscrew the bolts. So what are you going to do? Huh? Now she calls the mahram. Come and find me, I'm stopped by between London and Birmingham. That's not good. Not good. And until he comes to there, he's going to drive crazy, no? Maybe she didn't think about that. He is going to drive crazy, worry of what's going to happen to this woman. Maybe anybody stopped there. Maybe anybody accused her. Maybe anything happened. Maybe she is sitting in the car, parked aside, another crazy driver come and hit that car. He's going to think so bad and worried about it. But she doesn't care. She doesn't care. The important thing is that she won the case. She is driving now car. She is now driving car. Allah, the whole problem of the world, solved. No more problems in Iraq, no more problems in Africa. All the poor people in Africa become rich because the woman drives. I don't know. Is it haram or something? Can she not drive within the city limits? That I said no, she cannot drive, not even with the garden limits. Not our husband can provide drivers. I did not say let the husband Achilles be your bread. He must be your bread. He the other must be your bread. He must be your bread. So what is the solution? I just said, when she goes to school or collect the children, why she doesn't need to go collect the children? Is this her responsibility? No, it is his. It is his. She in the morning arrests the children and prepares their food, clothes, comb their hair, much of a night. The children go to the father. He drives them. This is duty. The children come back to the house with the father. He brings them back, drives them back. And when they are in the house, the mother is going to help them take off their changing their clothes and prepare their food, and then she sits with them, review what and help them with the homework. That's the duty. Everyone is doing his duty. If she says that, oh, in the West they don't allow a man to go and drive his kids back to the house, I say, okay, you hire a bus. All the schools have buses. Hire a bus. And she says, Yanni, he's not capable. How come he's capable to buy a car for you? Of course. And if this is the case in the West, it is not here in the States, and especially here in Saudi Arabia. But yet, the woman is claiming, and believe me, let me give you this experience. I did not bring it in the book, but I should have done that, but because then I was so nervous with the subject, I did not bring it. 50 years back, when they came up here in Saudi Arabia with the issue of drivers for a family, it was an issue. Everyone was, fighting. No, yes, no, yes. Then they said, okay, but this is dangerous. Don't bring the driver. They brought the driver. They allowed the driver to come. Now they say, I saw one TV interview with number of people. And it's a kind of thing, and one says, one who claims, for woman driving the car, he says, what is better? The woman driving the car and taking her kids to school and bringing them back, or what happened in the mall, where a number of children were, raised by the driver? Yeah, that's correct. You are 100% right. But when we said no driver, you guys said, no, we need to have driver. And now you are saying that the driver has done this. So to avoid this, they don't drive. And later on, we're going to give every kid a car. That's wrong, everyone. That's wrong. This is not the solution for it. The solution is to have the public transport. Public transport. Kids go in the bus to the school and come back. If the father cannot drive them, follow them back. But not the mother. This is not the duty of the mother. Not the duty. Allah. And the custom.
Can we carry on with the driving and then? I have one question. No. I'll read them. You want it now? No, about driving. Sheikh, how would you advise? How would you advise some sisters who are coming from the West, basically, and they claim that it is difficult for their husbands because of the nature of work they're doing at the moment? They cannot really take time off to bring back the kids home, and obviously, and some of them are saying, we feel like more or less always dependent on our husbands, where we didn't feel when they were back or back, whatever part, UK, US, whatever. And some of them actually, they do sound practicing sisters, but they do feel like, well, I'm missing that sort of driving. I don't want to be dependent on my husband all the time. I want to be independent. So how would you advise some sisters?
today independent and tomorrow she wants to be a republic or democracy. And I'm wondering now, does this woman consider that depending on her husband, that means she is oppressed, she is treated unjustly, she is becoming a slave? I'm wondering, how come the one depending on someone to serve him, and it is obligatory on him to serve her, he feels that, oh, I need to be independent. That is very wondering. I say what's happening in the West is absolutely wrong. And now many, many voices raised in the West to put back the woman, to put the woman back to her right place, the house, the kingdom of the woman, and the husband has to serve her, has to do everything. Here in Saudi Arabia, you don't need to worry about the kids because we have buses. All the schools, and I mean it. And it is not I don't trust the school bus driver. You can choose whatever. They have companies here. Whatever company, come and pick your child to the school on the way back. And even you can have private ones. Small car, only for your kids. Only for your kids. The matter is not who takes the kids and brings them back. How we are living. I'm so jealous that my wife sleeps until some time, you know, because she doesn't have to worry about the kids. So, I mean, there are solutions for this, or kids, or whatsoever. But the problem is not the kids, not the schooling. Okay, do you agree to drive only the kids from the house to the school and the school to the house? Other than that time, you don't drive. In the summer holidays, you don't drive. On Thursdays, Fridays, you don't drive. No. Then it is the excuse of children in school is not the real thing behind it. It's a desire. And wallahi, you men know, if the woman knows the stress comes from driving and the worries, she would never ever consider something good. And let me ask one question. Fahad, what do you work? Huh? Accountant. What do you work? Studying. Finance. Studying. Teacher. Tawfiq. Huh? Warehouse. Huh? IT. Now, what if I say, Dulfakar, we will change, and the company say, look, we want you to be the driver. We don't want you to be in IT anymore. Do you accept? Huh? Of course not. Why? No. Your main job is going to be the driver. Of course not. You, Tufi. No? Fine. No? It depends on the salary. Whatever. Now, do you consider and every job has, what do we call that? Huh? La. And لو مستوى. لو مستوى من يعني. يعني to be accepted. يعني to be a driver, all what you need to do is learn how to drive, get the driver license. That's it. This is one of the very simple jobs. these jobs are given to the very low class. So no one wishes to be, oh, I want to be a driver. No one wishes. Plus that, when you are the driver, you are carrying a lot of responsibility because you need to focus on the road and take care of people behind you, people to your right side, your left side. You have to be all the time, concentrate. No one of us wants to be like that. No one, and we are forced because this is life. I have to drive my car, to drive my family, to drive my kids, but I'm not quite happy. I'm not quite happy to drive. Whether here in Jeddah or in London, I saw it in London. In London, it's more terrible than here. Narrow roads, crowded. You have to be cautious all the time. Here, the way of driving. But then you spend hours in the queue. I saw that. I myself cannot do that. And I challenge. I doubt that if any woman can stay behind the steering wheel 2 hours, 3 hours, happy. Because this is not the nature of woman. She is going to be nervous. The makeup is going to go. I need to catch there. She's going to be nervous all the time. Long sitting will damage my skirting, which I earned today. No? I'm wondering why they look after. I don't know. Really, I don't know. I say that this is not an excuse for her to drive. And she better not to. And I say, as Abu Umar just mentioned, woman want to drive must either drive in Jeddah or in New Delhi or in Cairo. Let her test how driving is. She will give up. We give up driving there. But I say that it's not an excuse for her to drive. We don't say that driving itself is haram, but the consequences behind it. If you can drive without taking your niqab, no problem. If you can drive a car that doesn't break down, so you need to be directly in contact with men and alone in the middle of the road between somewhere and somewhere. I don't know why the woman wants to put herself in trouble. It's not the issue. So many people say, where is the... And someone said, woman driving a car is not an issue in Surah Al-A'raf or Anfal. No, we don't say that. No alim said that. But the ulama looked to the consequences of it. What happened when she drives? Na'am, Allah.
The
brother is mentioning something, good point here, that Allah Ta'ala did not say in the Quran, don't commit fornicating or zina, but Allah Ta'ala said, do not come close to it. Do not come close to it. Do not take the things lead to it. Same thing with driving. They said, oh, you expect that every woman going to do zina if she drives? No, who said that? But she is going to be more out. She is going to have her face uncovered. She is going to have accusation from men on the road. All this will happen. While if she is accompanied by her husband, no one will say nothing to her. No one will say nothing. And plus, she might say, okay, I drive and my husband sits on the next seat. I say, no problem, but there is a stress comes out of this driving. This will make you, if it is my wife, They would never ever accept that. Because all this will reflect back to my child. If she's been through crowdedness like in London, because Brother Abu Umair still insists that there they are very professional drivers. Although I said something terrible. But still he's insisting. I doubt if they was and drive professionally. Because I've been there. But anyway, it's the law. It's the law that makes them drive, so not they themselves. Even if we say that it's not in the West, here in Saudi, for example, driving is a kind of stress, it's a challenge. It's a battle. It's not something simple. Na'am, Allah.
All related to the Qadr. So I'm going to read them all together and then we decide which one is
right.
Basically, it's the first question and what are the rights of the wife? That's how it started. But
this is another khutbah.
Okay. Now, these three questions regarding the Qadr.
Now?
These three questions are regarding the Qadr. The Prophet said, any woman will ask her husband for divorce, but when it is not absolutely necessary, the fragrance of paradise will be forbidden for her.
No, this is wrong. The hadith doesn't say for it. It's talaq.
Yeah, talaq. It's narrated by Abu Dawud and Sahih al-Sahab al-Albani. What is absolutely necessary? That's what she wanted to know.
No?
The question is actually, what is absolutely necessary? Like meaning, if she asks for the divorce, if there is a necessity for this, what is the necessity? Basically, that's the first question.
Right. The rights of the husband and rights of wife, simply, is as Allah Ta'ala said in the Quran, that, and as the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, that the wife obeys the husband, and all what is not a disobedient to Allah. And she must not allow any one of her family members to come into the house if he doesn't like this person to come. And the rights of her upon her husband is that he treats her nicely, he spends on her justly, like any other woman, like her level, And at the same time, on his ability. Yeah, simply these are the general rights of husband and wife. In regard to the necessities of seeking for divorce, is for example, if the husband drinks khamr, or the husband beats the woman, or the husband doesn't stay in the house all the time, he's always out. She asks, he doesn't want to stay in the house. She has the right to ask divorce. If the husband always traveling, even for work, even if he says, this is to support the family, but if she says that I cannot stay without her husband, she has the right to ask for divorce. Hitting, there is permissible hitting and non-permissible. The hitting which is permissible is that it doesn't, it makes the woman feel that the husband is not quite happy with this. But not like hitting with a piece of hose or cable or a rope or a stick. It's a small thing. You're angry, You may use the same hitting when you are joking. It's the same hitting. And you say to your wife, you are joking, you both are happy with each other, then you are joking, and you say, hey, like this. This does not make her angry. But are angry and fighting, and you hit the same hitting, this will mean something to her. That is the way of hitting. But not to box her or beat her with a stick or, no, that is not permissible. That is not permissible. Yani, are the things that khul' or divorce, to claim divorce, is permissible for. That these are the things, and like that, and when the husband is away from the house all the time, even if it is for work, and she is remaining in one country, and he goes to another country work for 1, 2, 3 years, and she says, "No, I cannot cope." And with that, I need my husband. I have to have my rights. Or if he has another house, another family, and he is not just, she can't claim for divorce, no problem. But she is happy with her husband, everything is nice. She just wants to seek divorce because she doesn't like his mother, or because she likes another man. That is haram. That is haram. But with a valid reason, as we just mentioned, yes, no problem. She can claim for divorce. And if he refuses the divorce, then she claims for khul'. And when she claims for khul', she pays him his money back, and that's it. Now, here is a question. I mentioned hitting because the brother asked about hitting. And the Quran mentioned stages before hitting. As we mentioned the ayah here in the khutbah. فالصالحات قانتات حافظات للغيب بما حفظ الله واللاتي تخافون نشوزهن فعظوهن first remind them واجروهن then practice boycotting or abandoning her abstain from her but this would be in the bedroom not outside the bedroom you don't take one room and she is in other room no in the same room, but you give her your bag. Now, and this is not for longer than 3 days. As Allah Ta'ala said, fil mabaja, meaning in the bedroom. And then wadribuhun. And this and then when you are with her. When you're both happy and you're joking. This is the way of it. Now.
Second question about the khula. About the khula. I think she's like. Is it a reason for the khula if the husband marries another woman, takes another wife?
This is a good question. Is it a reason for khula if the husband takes another wife? No, it is not. No, it is not. It is not a reason for khul'. And this phenomenon these days coming up that the woman says that, oh, I cannot cope with it. Every woman. I don't know why they cannot when Aisha, Hafsa, and other kind. I don't know. They say, oh, we feel jealous. What jealous? She feels jealous that her husband gone marry, but she never feels jealous that her husband, when they are both living in the West, her husband go to work and get a public transport, sit beside a woman, see a woman, work with a woman, and this woman may be exposing a lot of parts of her body that she doesn't feel now jealous. But when he wants to protect himself and marry another woman, she is jealous now. And she cannot cope with it. No, this is not acceptable. Not at all. And if this is something natural, then this means that Islam oppresses the woman. But Islam never does. Islam never oppresses the woman. The polygamy is a necessity. And it used to be practiced even in the West. But when the West abandoned the churches, although the churches were wrong, religion, but at least they used to still have some of the Christianity. But when they abandoned the churches and ignored them, and they ignored even the popes and priests and whatsoever for the defect that the churches had. When they done that, they came to the idea that no religion, men and women are equal. Let's go and do whatever. And look to the results of it today. And many places in the West now, they authenticated the homosexuality. Man marries a man, woman marries a woman. And they still say this is freedom. So, polygamy is one of the solutions to protect the communities and societies. It's not something bad. It is something good. The woman says, oh, but my husband may not be just. May not is the ilm al-ghayb, unseen. Let him go for it and help him. Remind him of the devil's action if he's not just with both. And help him. So you have a good community. And especially in the West, so many women becoming Muslims. Before they become Muslims, they used to have many boyfriends. Isn't it? Ikhwah? Before these women become Muslims, they have their own boyfriends. Am I right? Or all those children are legitimate? Now when she becomes Muslim, she doesn't have any help from the other selfish, greedy Muslim sister. No. You cannot have my husband as yours. No. You cannot marry. You divorce me. Then, okay, you are divorced. Then, who gonna marry you? Someone has a wife. No problem. To be the second, I accept. But someone comes to be the second on me, no. All this from Shaitan, ikhwan, to make men and women fall into the zina. So we have to be careful of that. The men also need to be reminded that to fear Allah Ta'ala, if you are not able financially, and when I say financially, it's not an excuse for the wife now. He is the one need to judge it. If he can open two houses, alhamdulillah. If he cannot, then ask Allah to help you with one. Right? And be just. Even with the little you have, be just. Some women think that the justice is he must not go lower than the standard that he used to give when she was alone. But he doesn't have much income. He has, for example, he earns, let's say, £3,000 a month. Right? And he used to give her £1,000 a month for her. Now, he married another one. He cannot give both of them 1,000. So he goes for 500 and 500. She considers that this is unjust. Why? The unjust is, if he gives that one 501 pounds, and he gives you 500 only. This is unjust. But as long as both are equal, then this is justice. Nah. Why he gives this wife more? No. Look. He has two wives. He has to give every wife similar to the other. He has children. Here he has four children. In the other house, he has only one child. He gives these children what is enough for them. He gives this child what is enough for him. He's not giving the mothers. The mothers must be given the same, equal, as wives. Right? But if you are giving one house, 1,000 because she has children, and the other house, 500 because she has only one child, and you know that this wife is not spending the 1,000 on the children, you are also paying the children, you are buying everything, then this is unjust. You are giving the wife, you are not giving the children. No? Type, is there another?
In case of the khula, because the husband married another woman, who takes the custody of the children? Please advise.
We said that there is no khula for polygamy, and with the excuse of marrying another wife, there is no khula. There is no khula. This is not a valid reason for khula. There is no valid reason. She has to be patient. And in both khul and divorcing, the children belongs to the father. The children belongs to the father, not to the mother. And that's why in the Quran, when they are divorced and they have a newborn child, husband, ex-husband, wants the mother of his baby to breastfeed him, he pays her. In the Quran, he pays who is her baby too. But because the children belongs to the father, and the father is the one who is responsible to spend. So now when she is divorced or she asks for khul, she will lose the custody of the children. In general, but in certain the ruling is different. The judgment is different. But generally, the children belongs to the father. What is the definition of khul? Khul. In the Quran, khul is from khala'a yakhla'u. It's when you remove the nail from the wood. That is khul. It's like removing the woman from the man. And in the Quran, Allah Ta'ala says, fida, 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 يعني إذا وقع إنسان في الأسر لا بد يدفع مال حتى يطلع بس سمر ها رنسل يعني عند القرآن so خل is only يعني to be claimed when there is as I said earlier there is something wrong with this man. He is sick and he doesn't want to go get treatment, and the sickness is causing trouble to the woman. He can't, yani, he doesn't give her bed right, like these things. He is very selfish and he doesn't want to spend nothing. These and the like are the causes of divorce and khula. If he refuses the divorce, then she claims for khula. Then she claims for khula.
باقي
طيب هذا
years ago, I had no choice but to drive. My husband was in Jeddah, and myself, my children were alone. I had to drive the children to school and back. It was much easier public transport. You are coming into contact with the kuffar if you are on public transport. If you are in your own car, it is much safer. Not all women worry about makeup in the West. Muslim women are more sensible and practical.
Yani, as you said before, if there is one example of necessity of driving, there are a lot of examples of non-necessity of driving. And when it is already something practiced, the ruling is different. Yani, the ruling is different in the West than it here. But again, driving is not something, it's not an hour, it's not a pride for a woman to look for. We say that the woman must be served. Must be served. And this is the duty of the husband. If she is in need, like traveling alone without a mahram. If she is in need, as I said, when there is a necessity, it's okay. But when it is a desire, when is it, we are talking about the desire. When it is a desire. The woman just wants, I don't see, and I saw in the West, but yani, even I think it is more needed that the man, the husband, drive his wife or the children drive. Why? Because in the West, you never see a kuffar driving their mothers or wives or on a way as respect something that they seek reward behind. But when the Muslims yani spread this and people, then people, this is one way of calling to Islam. One way of calling to Islam. A lot of stories that the Muslims there in the West, fulfilling the rights of parents, but when you and them are the same, so who's going to call who? They are calling you to their ways more than that you are calling them to their way, to your way. That's the reality of it. And as you hear, sister, a sister said that finding it difficult to live here because the husbands are in the and work and the end of desire now. It become a desire. It is more safer for her to drive her kids than a man driving in the a public transport. Something very wondering. To me, something very wondering. Everywhere it is known that, and this is real, mainly in the West, public transport is much safer than private transport. Much, much safer. First, it's not crowded like here. For example, the bus of 30 takes 50. No, there no. The bus of 50 holds only 15. I got into a public transport there in the UK, and I'm comfortable. Very nice. If she says, but oh, you're gonna see men, you're gonna sit next to men, you're gonna, where else in the West you're not going to be so? When you drive your car only? I'm wondering, seriously, but I don't think that this is an excuse. Wallahu a'lam.